This morning I'm going to speak on the subject soul, S-O-U-L, needs. You know, when I say that, we immediately think of the three needs that we have for our body. I mean, we need food, we need clothes, we need shelter. And when we think of needs for our body, those are the things that we think about. But there's more to us than just our body. We have a soul that's going to last forever, and we have a spirit that was made to commune with God. And when God breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul, he put some needs into Adam, into each one of us, that our soul needs. Just like our body needs food and clothes and water, there are some things our soul needs. Now, here's the strange thing. For the needs of our body, we run to them. We will go this afternoon and buffet our bodies because we know we need to eat. When it gets cold, we put coats on and we dress warmly because we know we need clothes. At night, we look for a place to rest, a place of shelter. And so we run to those needs. We know that we need them. Our soul has some needs, and here's a strange thing. We run from them. We hold up our hands and we step backwards, and even though our soul needs them, we run from them. And the point of my message is this morning to point out to you some of the things that your soul needs and encourage you to embrace them. Encourage you not to run from them, but to run to them just like we run to the needs of our body. I have seven of them I want to mention this morning. I know what time it is. I will be quick and not keep you longer than I normally do. The first need of our soul is fellowship with God. Your soul needs fellowship with the one who made it. In Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. And if you read the Bible closely, you will find the purpose for God creating us is to bring glory and honor to himself. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, says we were made for the praise of his glory. In Revelation 4:11, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." And so God made you and made me to praise him and to bring glory to him and to fellowship with him. And when he made Adam that living soul, and as that was passed to all of us, every one of us, our soul needs a relationship with God, needs fellowship with God. Now, I did not say needs to believe in God. I'm going to get to that in a minute. We need to believe in God, but more than believing in God, we need to have fellowship with him. More than your service, God wants your fellowship. How long has it been? Well, thank you for singing that song, Brother Wendell. How long has it been since you have fellowshiped with God? I'm not talking about serving him. I'm not talking about going to the soup kitchen yesterday and feeding over 100 people. I'm not talking about going to the hospital and making a visit. I'm not talking about going into somebody's home and telling them about Jesus Christ. I think all those are good things, and God needs our service. But more than our service, he wants our fellowship. He wants us to spend time with just him. He wants us to spend time listening as he speaks to us through his word. He wants us to spend time down on our knees and on our face, sharing our heart's desires. He wants us to spend time just with him, in fellowship with him. Look, you guys that are married, you can go about your husbandly duties all week. I mean, you know, you can do everything that a husband is supposed to do as far as keeping up the house and doing all the chores and all that stuff. But if you don't spend time fellowshipping with your wife, spending time with her, at the end of the week, she's not going to be happy and you aren't either. You laugh, but what you really want to say is, "Amen, preacher." That's right. She would not be happy at the end of the week. And neither would you if you have not spent any time talking to one another, being in each other's company, enjoying each other's company, sharing your heart's desire with each other. That's what God wants with us. And that's what your soul needs, fellowship with God. And isn't it strange we run from that? We get so busy doing everything else, good things. So busy doing good things that we don't take the time to get by ourselves with the one who made us, to get by ourselves with him and just get into this word and fall on our face before God. Say, God, I love you. Thank you for saving me. Oh, God, I praise your name. Your soul needs that. Don't run from it. Make time for it. I'll ask the question that Brother Wendell asked in his song. How long has it been since you've done that? I know probably everybody in this room has done something for God this week, and praise God for what you've done. But have you spent any time with him? Have you fellowshipped with him this week? Your soul has a need to fellowship with God. Number two, your soul has a need to fellowship with God's people. In Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to be in the first three chapters of Genesis this morning. I think this is where the Bible spells out what our soul needs. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says it's good that a man should not be alone. And so God created woman and created the home. And then God created the church so that man does not have to be by himself. We need a place like this that we can come and fellowship with other Christians. We need a place like this where we can come and shake hands. We need a place like this where we can come and hug one another and encourage one another and exhort one another to stay busy about the things of God. Isn't it strange that even though we know that we need it, our soul needs that fellowship with one another, that we run from it? And we let anything and everything come between us and what we need. We need fellowship with God's people. I want to tell you something this morning. I don't want to offend anybody, but I can't find anything in the Bible about high worship service or about a dignified, dead, stuffy church service. I can't find anything about that in the Bible. When I read in the Bible about the church in Jerusalem in the book of Acts, they were so wild that people thought they were drunk. They were so excited about the things of God that people said, there are a bunch of crazy people in that place. There's nothing wrong with getting excited about the things of God. There's nothing wrong with saying howdy. There's nothing wrong with having some fellowship in God's house with God's people. I've seen sign in churches that says, if you must talk, whisper. And if you must whisper, whisper a prayer. Well, I guess, you know, praying's good, and I don't like talking in church when other things going on, but I tell you what, I enjoy a church where people love to get together, where people let it show that they love to get together, and I want to tell you something this morning, your soul needs that. You need fellowship with other Christians. You need that encouragement. You need that exhortation that we can only get when we come to this place. Say, preacher, well, we come here to worship. Well, I know we come here to worship. That word worship means directing your love toward God. You can do it in this place or you can do it by yourself, but you cannot do by yourself the fellowship that occurs in this place. Can't do it. We need each other. And isn't it funny? We run from it. We let anything and everything come between us and being in the place where God knows that we need to be and where we know that we need to be. Third thing our soul needs is rules. Rules. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. God said, the day you eat this fruit, you're going to die. He didn't explain why. Adam and Eve didn't need to know why. They just need to know that there was a right and there was a wrong. And if they wanted to do right, this is what they needed to do. And if they didn't do that, they were doing wrong. Your soul needs that. Our soul, created by God, needs rules. It needs boundaries. It needs a definition of right and the definition of wrong. And it needs to do right. And you can't do right unless you know what the rules are. You can't do wrong unless you know what the rules are. And so God says, I'm going to give you some rules. He gave us a whole book of rules right here in the Bible. And he said, your soul needs these rules so that it knows what to do right. That's why you have an old-fashioned preacher that preaches this book. If you have come to get your ears tickled, if you have come to hear what you want to hear, brother, you have come to the wrong place. I'm going to preach the Bible. I'm going to tell you what's right. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. It doesn't matter if I offend you. I hope I don't offend you, but if I offend you, so be it. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit of God. So I'm going to tell you that it's a sin to curse. I'm going to tell you it's a sin to go around half naked. I'm going to tell you it's a sin to drink. I'm going to tell you it's a sin to have sex outside of marriage. I'm going to tell you it's a sin to covet. And man, I'm just getting started. We rebel against it. Here's what we say. I don't want any rules. It starts from the time we come out of the womb until we go into the grave. We say, I don't want any rules. I don't want any boundaries. I want to make my own rules. I want to decide what's right and what's wrong. God says, no, 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 you're not God. I'm God. I'll define the rules. I'll tell you what's right and I'll tell you what's wrong. And even though deep down in our soul we know we need those, we rebel against them. We need rules. Number four, we need work. It's a four-letter word, but it's not a dirty word. Work. We need work. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. No person is happy that somehow doesn't work. If you don't, I don't know how your soul can be happy. You were made to work. We do a disservice to our kids. We don't give them an opportunity to work. I've heard parents say, well, I don't want my children to have to do the same thing I did. Why? You turned out pretty good. What are you trying to protect them from? Well, I don't want them to have to work. Well, why not? You did. God made us to work. And then we get older and we retire. Why? Because we don't want to work. Well, you know what? Most retirees, I read the study, I can't remember the number, but it's a number in 80%. Most retirees go back to work. You know why? Because they were made to work. Their soul has a need to work. And when they don't work, their soul is not happy. And so they work. And we rebel against it. Don't we? Oh, we spend our whole life looking forward to retirement. Oh, I can't wait. I don't have to get up. I don't have to punch the clock. I can do anything I want. And then we do anything we want and we're bored out of our gourd. We need to work. God made us that way. That's one of the needs of our soul. Number five, our soul needs to be under authority. We need to be under authority. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, God said to Eve, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. In Ephesians, God said that man was to be subject to Christ. And so the man is to be subject to Jesus Christ. The woman is to be subject to the man. I know if there's any ERAers in the room this morning, you say, preacher, you're all wet. That's the way it used to be, but it ain't that way anymore. Sorry, that Bible hasn't changed. Chad and Ruth and I spent a little bit of time together yesterday, and they're getting married in January, and I was telling them, what I think the Bible definition is of what it is to be a husband and to be a wife. And I started with Chad, and I tell this in one way or another. Everybody that comes and asks for counsel before they get married, I tell this to the husband. I say, you need to love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Which means that if you're ever called upon to give your life, to sacrifice your life to save your wife, that's how much you love her. You are willing to give yourself for her. And every decision that you make, everything about you is how can I meet the needs of my wife? I mean, that's what love is. God said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Well, love is more than an emotion. Love is an action. And I take actions. And what's the desire of my actions? It is to meet the needs of my wife. And every husband, if you love your wife in the way that God wants you to love your wife, that's what your end game is. That's what your objective is, to meet the needs of that one that God has brought to be your wife. And then what does God say to the wives? Submit yourselves to your husband. Oh, that's old-fashioned. I'm not going to let any man tell me what to do. Well, let me just talk to you for a minute, lady. If your husband loves you like Christ loves the church and makes every decision with your needs in mind and loves you enough that if called upon, he would die for you, why wouldn't you submit to him? Why wouldn't you? I know some of you don't like this, but it doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm going to preach it anyway. Listen, that's how God set it up. That's what he put inside of you. That's how he made you. That's what your soul needs. Every one of us needs to be under an authority. I, as a man, and every man in this room, needs to understand that they are under the authority of Christ. He is the head. And every lady in this room, every wife in this room needs to understand that the way that God made you is to be under the authority of your husband. And again, I'll just say it now, I'll say it again at the end. Here's the point of my message. There is no way that we can be happy, content as Christians unless we meet the needs of our soul. We meet the needs of our body, and we run from the needs of our soul, and we think that we can be happy just by meeting the needs of our body. That's a shallow, empty existence. There's no contentment in that. There's no peace in that. The contentment and the peace comes when we meet the needs of our soul, and we need to be under authority. Number six. Our soul needs to know that there's punishment when we do wrong, when we break the rules. In Genesis chapter 3, the punishment for the serpent was to crawl on his belly and eat the dust of the ground. The punishment for Eve was to multiply sorrow in that conception. The punishment for Adam was the ground being cursed. The soul needs to know that there is punishment for wrong. I've known people who've done wrong and nobody's punished them, and they punish themselves. They've chastised themselves. We do our children a disservice when we set up rules and they break those rules and we don't punish them. They need to understand they were made. Their soul needs to know that when the rules are broken, there is punishment that comes. And then number seven, and I hasten to this one. We have a need in our soul that when we do break the rules, that there's a way back. That there's a way back. Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, when they ate that fruit that God told them not to eat, the Bible says they hid themselves and they made aprons of fig leaves to cover their nakedness. God came into the garden and called to Adam and said, I'm sorry, those aprons won't do. I got to teach you from the very beginning that there is a way back, and the way back is through a blood sacrifice. And so God killed some innocent animals, and he took their skins, and they covered Adam and Eve in the skins of those animals. And when Adam and Eve took those cloaks that God had made out of the skins of those animals and they put them on their bodies, they were accepting the way that God had made for them to come back to him. They were accepting the blood sacrifice. They were accepting the death of the innocent, the shedding of blood to pay for sin. When Cain killed Abel, and God came and spoke to him, and he said, Cain, why are you wroth? the sin offering lieth at the door. What God was saying, Cain, you did wrong when you killed Abel, but there's a way back. It's not the way that you approached me the first time. It's not the fruit of your hands. It's not the fruit of the ground. The sin offering lieth at the door. I think what God was saying to Cain, hey, there's a little innocent lamb outside the door that's ready to jump into your arms that you can take to the altar and you can kill it and you can shed his blood and you can pay for the sin that you committed in killing your brother. There is a way back. There is a way back. And that, and our soul needs that way back. John the Baptist, when he introduced Jesus Christ, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And what John was saying is the same thing that God said to Cain. There's a lamb, an innocent lamb, the Lamb of God, that's ready to jump into your arms, that's ready to offer himself on the cross as your sacrifice, as your blood sacrifice, to pay for your sins. And just like every other need of our soul, even on this one, we put barriers between us and it. We back up from it. We know that we need it. Deep down in our soul, we know that we need the way back to God. But we run from it. And we put it off and we make all sorts of excuses. And there's people in this room this morning. You know what I'm talking about. You know that you need to have fellowship with God. You know that you need to be under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that you've sinned and there's a penalty for that sin. And you know there's a way back. And yet, you run from it. You say no and no and no. Every time you hear the gospel, you say no and no and no. There's no way, no way you're going to find peace. There's no way you're going to find contentment. You can meet every need of this body and your life will be empty, without purpose, without contentment. It's only when you meet the needs of your soul that you find peace with God and you find contentment. This morning, don't run from those needs. Embrace them. Don't run from Jesus this morning. He's the way back. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can't get back to God. Anything that you can do is only coming through him. Would you come this morning? Please don't run from him this morning. Please run to him. Come to the cross. Come to the one that paid the price of your sins. He'll make you a part of his family. Forgive every sin, wash it away, take every one of them off your record, and make you a child of God. And I want to tell you, we sang about it a minute ago, it's wonderful to be a child of God. It's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. I can't describe what it is to know that. If you're here and you've never done it, I can't describe what it's like to know that your sins are forgiven, you're a child of God. You got to experience it for yourself. Come to Jesus this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. Even in the early chapters of this book, you tell us what we need. Help us not to run from them this morning. Help us to run to them. I pray for every person here that's never received Christ as their Savior. Help them run to Jesus this morning. Help them run to your Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Help them to run and get salvation. I pray for the Christians that are here, Father. Help us to realize that we have these other needs. Our soul needs fellowship with you. It needs fellowship with other Christians. It needs work. It needs authority. It needs rules. Father, most of all, help us to understand we need the way back. We need the Savior. And so I ask you to bless this time of invitation. I ask that every person here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to their heart and you would bring them to Jesus Christ this morning. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.